Praise you, Lord. Father, this morning we surrender our will, our plans, our purposes, our thoughts to you, Lord. We want to take on your thoughts, your plans, your will in everything that we do and everything that we say, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord. We thank you for your presence, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Once again, Lord, I yield to you. Use me as you see fit, Lord. Without my opinions, Lord, let they be your opinions and your word, Lord. Because that's what brings change, direction, and correction. We lay down our agendas this morning. Lay down every want except one want, Lord, the want for you. We want you. We want more of you, Lord. For that to happen, Lord, we have got to give up us and take on you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Now, Lord, we thank you for the outcome of today in advance. We thank you, Father, that it's your word, not man's word. And Lord, once again, we reaffirm that we receive that word today. Change us. Direct us. Correct us. Make us sensitive to you, Lord, to your will, your plan, and to understanding how you operate. For this we praise you and thank you and give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
How many know a threefold cord is not easily broken? And that means it takes more than just one of us, amen? I mean, we have ability and power, but in unity, there's strength. And that unity begins with being in and understanding and knowing the will, the thoughts, and the desires of God, amen? Praise the Lord. Stand with me if you will. We'll read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have him, if you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I want you to take note of that particular scripture. We are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Make a note of that. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Praise the Lord. Some pretty powerful words there. In all honesty, I prayed and I said, God, I said, I want your will. If this is not what you want, I even prayed to the degree I said, God, like you shut the man's mouth in the Bible who was not going along with what your plan was until the event took place, shut my mouth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's enough strife and dissension and discord in this world that we cannot have it in the body of Christ. Amen? We are part one of another. We have obligations to God, but that gives us obligations to one another. I can tell you God's heart is wounded when there's dissension and discord in His body. And I'm sorry to say that it comes from pride and arrogance. I'm not sorry to say. I'm sorry that I'm a part of it sometimes. Amen? How many know God loves you? Well, there's not many people answering that. How many people know God loves you? Now, don't just say it if you don't believe it's true, but how many know God loves you? And how many know that when God takes the time to speak to you, it's because He's doing it out of His love and His desire for you to walk in the truth and the light as He is in the light? Amen? We too easily forget Jesus' conduct in this earth. Everything He did, everything He said, even when He was angry in the temple, He did because it was the heart of God and it was the direction of the Father, not because it was His will or His desire. Amen? We're supposed to be separate from, we're supposed to be different than people in this world. Right? Sometimes, unfortunately, we don't act like it. And this is for every person sitting in this room, starting right here. It's not enough just to have the Spirit of God and to have His words and to have His wisdom. Things, you need to walk in it. You need to operate in it. And the way you do that, once again, sounds like a broken record, doesn't it? Is when you give up yourself, your desires, your passions, your will, your thoughts, and your ways. For what? For His ways, His desires, His passions, His will. Amen? Praise the Lord. Verse 22 tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 to put off, concerning the former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitfulness of lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to what? To God, in true righteousness and holiness. Amen? And then the latter part of this chapter it says, well, let's go for verse 25 again. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Now, right there, that captivates my thinking. Members one of another. How many have seen people or know about people with Tourette's syndrome? The body's out of control. Well, yeah, it's the devil, but do you understand that the body's not in control and it's fighting against itself? That doesn't work, does it? First of all, the individual can't stand it. They're self-conscious. They don't like it. And yet they have no control. What gives us control in our lives? Amen. God and the Holy Spirit. God through the Holy Spirit. Members one of another. Let him who stole steal no more. No longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Grace to the hearer. Grace to the hearer. Unmerited favor to the hearer. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, let all wrath, let all anger, let all clamor, and let all evil speaking be put away from you with all. Let all malice be put away from you. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. in Haggai, or Haggai, however you pronounce it. How we pronounce it, it's not important. It's the content of the word that's important. 1, verses 5 through 7. It says, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Now we use this scripture for talking about giving and tithing and things like that, but this covers every aspect of our life. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Do you think he's trying to get our attention and tell us something here? See, it's not only in the actions or the lack of actions. How many know there's what they call a sin of omission? Do you know that? And we dare not be, and we don't want to be guilty of that. We need to consider our ways. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that we are to look at ourselves and put ourselves ahead of anybody else. Amen? In this world right now, there's so much selfishness and garbage going on. People wanting to, if you will, be cutthroat in their actions and their deeds so they can elevate themselves, so they can exalt themselves. These are not the works of God. Amen? We all know that. These are not the works of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 to 27. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And along with that, I'm reminded that I need to keep focus on the fact that Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful. That's the mind, the will, and the emotions are deceitful and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Well, we can know it through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's why we need the Lord. Because we have selfish ambition, selfish desires. Thank God that through His Word, He exposes those things. And the Holy Spirit's able to come into our hearts and convict us and bring us to a place of repentance and bring that stony, hard heart to a place of being a heart of flesh and a soft heart in God. Amen? Because He loves us. Moving right along. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Wouldn't you say he's speaking to you and I? Not speaking to somebody else through us saying ponder your ways, but we are to ponder and think about our ways. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but remove your foot from evil. What evil? How many know that when you consider you before anybody else, that's selfishness? And everyone here knows what ish means, selfish, self-God. Elevating yourself above another. That's not love. That's not even brotherly love. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. I've got some scriptures here. There's a lot. We're going to go through it. We're still going to get out of here at a decent hour. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. One of the things that we understand, is because we just read it, is that in Haggai, that we're to consider our ways. The Word of God is known as a mirror, but that mirror is not for you and I to put in somebody else's face and say, consider your ways. It's a mirror for us, and the Word says to us, consider our ways. Amen? Are you with me? Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will keep. It will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I've heard this all of my Christian life. And I've come to the realization, understanding, and we've talked about this, that I will never have the tree removed from my eye. God is taking care of it in each one of our lives as we walk with Him, as we grow in Him. So you'll never have the ability to see a speck in somebody else's eye. Let's go back to Haggai. Consider your ways. Philippians 4, 12 through 16. How many know God hates dissension? Ooh, I didn't get many answers. Must have touched a sore spot. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, if you don't know it already, God hates dissension and discord, especially in His ranks, in His body. A body cannot function when it's got Tourette's syndrome in it. Do you understand? His body can't function when it's got Tourette's syndrome in it. Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Philippians chapter 4, verses 12. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong scripture. I was looking at 3. I apologize, that's my fault. Yeah, it was a great scripture, wasn't it? Fit right in, wasn't it? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let me try again. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Okay, I'm not sure that's the right scripture. Maybe that was chapter 3. I'm not sure here. Anyway, basically the thought that I was looking for, and I've obviously written down the wrong, or at least it appears that I've written down the wrong chapter. But basically what it talks about is working out your salvation, your own salvation. You and I are not the Holy Spirit in somebody else's life. We're to work out our salvation. I don't know how that happened, but it did. So anyway, we'll move on. Yeah, that is good. You ought to read that, Philippians 3. Praise the Lord. John 8, verses 1 through 11. This is a familiar passage to all of us. John 8, verses 1 through 11. You know, too easy when we get a little annoyed, or it's too easy when we get a little annoyed sometimes, even with one another, to say and to do things or to try to point out fault in someone else, rather than, once again, considering our ways. And this is a place where self-righteous people, and I'm sorry, even though they were correct in their assessment and in the law, they were wrong in the attitude and the spirit of love of God. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, now early one morning, and He came again to the temple. And all the people came to Him and sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to Him a woman caught in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" This they said, testing Him, that they might have something of which to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with His finger, as though He did not hear them. So when they continued asking Him, he raised Himself up and said to them, "Whichever one of you doesn't have any sin in your life, you throw the first stone. Whichever one of you is perfect and has never violated the law, God's or man's, you go ahead and cast the first stone. Whichever one of you walks uprightly in everything you do and say, every day of your life and every moment of your life, you throw the first stone." And again, He stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised Himself up and saw no one but the woman, He said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Verse 12, I'm going to read that. And then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light, have the light of life. It's too easy for us to walk in self-righteousness, self-elevation. Amen? It's too easy. It's too easy. That's why we are told and why Paul says, I keep under my body. I push it down. I make it subject to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. I push it down. I'm not going to let those things have reign in my body. You understand? Have reign in my body. Remember, the Bible says, to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are. That includes, amen, 1 John 1, 7 through 10. 1 John 1, 7 through 10. I understand this is probably uncomfortable, but you understand that I'm the one sitting here receiving this also. But understand that the reason God chastens us is to bring us back in line. The same reason you chasten a child when you've given instruction to it and it violates your instructions. Why do you do that? For their safety, their well-being, and for them to increase in knowledge and learning and understanding. Is that not right? Isn't that love? In other words, I don't want the same things to happen to you that have happened to me, or I don't want you to suffer a calamity that will take you from me. Amen? That will keep you from my presence. Amen? Doesn't that sound like God? Help us, Lord. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now let me explain to you what that sin means. What he's saying, well, let me go on and finish that, and then we'll talk about it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we then say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, we're not talking about sin that leads to the judgment of death. That's already been taken care of. Let me tell you what the definition according to the concordance is, or the original language. That word sin in these verses means to be without a share in, to miss the mark, or to err. A mistake. Okay? Letting our flesh get a little out of control. But remember that there's always two sides to every situation, and in that, 99.9% of the time, there are two parties that are guilty, not just one. Are you with me? I'm sure glad there's nothing to throw around here. I'd be in trouble. So if we say that we are without a share in, or we miss the mark, or we don't err, the truth's not in us. The light's not in us. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. We have a command from God. It comes through the writer of the book of Philippians, but it's still a command from God. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 5. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look out not for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. We just talked about this not just recently. And then verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God, through Jesus and everything he did, always considered the people in front of him. Every time we talk about this or talk about these subjects, we talk about the fact that Jesus never preached Jesus. Jesus never brought attention to himself. He brought attention to the kingdom of God and the Father and the Father's will. And how many know the scripture says that all God has in his mind for us is good? He doesn't want any of us to get in trouble and perish. Amen? That's why Jesus fulfilled what God, his Father's will was, and that's to die. So he could purchase back what was taken in deceit and deception and disobedience in the garden. Amen? Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What did he say in the Word? I have come to obey and to fulfill the will of my Father. Amen? Hallelujah. Where does that leave room for anyone to have their own agenda? For years we've had this thing running around. It's kind of died and subsided now, but the WWJD, what would Jesus do? And sometimes we don't consider what Jesus would do. Somebody does something that's a little abrasive and right away we're ready to pop off and fly up the handle, get upset. Hey, we're human beings, but that doesn't justify it. My immediate response, according to what I understand from the Word, is for me to consider my ways and go to my face and say, God, forgive me, I'm sorry. And then if we've wronged someone in our little tirade, you better go and you better say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, and release it to God. It's not your position to forgive, it's God's position to forgive. And when He is allowed to do that, He covers it all, both you and the other party. Amen. Now let me tell you something. When you take communion, you already understand that if you have aught against your brother, you're told, don't take of communion. You better go and make it right. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's not one of us in this room that doesn't have little idiosyncrasies that may cause, because of personality conflicts, a little irritation to one another sometimes. But do we write one another off? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Consider your ways. Consider my ways. Amen? Self-examination, I guess, is what you would call it. 1 Corinthians 1:10. You can write this down if you don't want to turn to it. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians for a couple or three scriptures. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I plead with you, brethren. Does that sound like he's talking to a stranger or somebody he doesn't know? Sounds like he's talking to family, doesn't it? I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Can I tell you something? You want to see the anointing disappear? You want to see the anointing not move? And you want to see the Spirit of God and the peace in your life disappear? Praise the Lord. Good answer. I don't either. But you know how you do that? By allowing anything to come between you and another part of the body. Anything. The first brick of the first wall that was ever built to separate people from one another. God's creation happened in the garden when Adam said, the woman you gave me, and didn't take responsibility for his own self. And to this day, I still wonder what would have happened if Adam would have fell on his face like David, repented in sackcloth and ashes, said, God, I've sinned. I'm sorry. I repent. I've done wrong. Very good likelihood, I would think. Or at least the judgment wouldn't have been as profuse. Would you agree with that? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, listen carefully, strife, that means of any kind, in any way, shape, fashion, or form, in any place in our lives, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men, meaning unsaved men? 1 Corinthians 12, 20 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 20 through 27. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Did you hear the word seem in there? It didn't say they were weaker. It says seem to be weaker. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable On these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts, we have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism. Does anybody need that defined for them? No void. Amen. In the body. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, if you are the body of Christ, and members individually. Now, listen to me. The fingers are part of the hand, but the fingers are no less members in their own. However, they support the hand, they function with the hand, and they don't operate separately. I don't know about you, I've never seen a finger that was decapitated ever do anything by itself. It just kind of lays there. There's no life in it. See, for this body to function and for the Spirit of God and the love of God, which are the lifeblood of the body, to function, we all have to support one another and be behind one another. And when you get the hackles on the back of your neck to stand up because somebody's maybe not even wronged you but done something that irritated you, well, all I can say is Stan would say, tie it outside. You need to remember and think about the fact that you might have just done that to somebody else. And if they didn't beat you up, go behind your back and talk about you, you better not be doing it to them. When did you ever see Jesus or the Father act that way towards you? Amen? Ephesians 5, 1 through 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Listen carefully. This isn't a suggestion. And when God says things, it's for your good and for the good of the kingdom and the body. Therefore, remember, whenever you read it, therefore, you better find out what it's there for. Be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. That word walk means to make one's way, to progress, to make due use of opportunities, to conduct oneself. But make your way. Progress. Make due use of opportunities. In other words, what an opportunity when somebody steps on your toe for a moment or does something that irritates you just a little bit. Doesn't even have to be serious. And you're ready to fly off the handle. Get upset. Well, you don't know what they did to me. I don't care. Neither does God. What God's concerned about is what you do with your actions and your heart and your thoughts at that moment. And conduct yourself as Christ also has loved and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Then it goes on to admonish us, things that we know. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking. I have made it very clear from this pulpit, and I have said, most of any of you who have been here for a long time, or even if you haven't been here for a long time, have heard me say, my ears are not garbage cans for trash. And I will not, because the Word of God says, I will not receive an accusation against a brother. Now see, I've carried this over in my own personal life. I've had two folks come in and try to disrupt my building and try to point fingers at my employees. I'm not here to tell you they may not have been guilty. But I can tell you, just as you know, and by the Spirit, especially when you've got the Spirit of God in you, by wisdom and discernment, who the problem is and who's embellishing or who's talking trash and who's telling the truth. And I've made it clear to my employees, I will not listen to one person make an accusation against you until I have all the facts, until I hear both sides, especially if I wasn't there to see and hear what was going on. I had a man come in one day, man wearing, I don't know how much his suit was, doesn't make any difference. Comes in there pompous, arrogant. He's already had an issue that proved what kind of a nutcase he was. Got fired from his job because he came in and confronted one of my people prior to my being there. The report was written, it went into the office, he would call before his supervisors and the property manager. Guess what? He's not there anymore. He comes in after hours when he's already worked there. He knows the rules. The rules haven't changed in the 10 or 11 years or 12 years, whatever it is, the building's been built. But he comes in and he demands to go up to a floor where he can't go. It's a secured floor. And because of the spirit and the heart that was within him, he tried to antagonize, embellish, and tell lies about another officer. And at that point, the officer, who's probably the least Christ, one of the least Christ-like people, pops right up and says, right in front of him and in front of me, I never heard him say that when he was talking about the accusation that was made against the other officer that was working that night. This was during the DNC. But you see, I knew by his mannerisms what kind of man he was. Very high on himself. Very proud. Well, man, I've got an envelope here with a $12 million deal I got to get. Well, honey, your poor planning and your mistake does not make an emergency on my part. Now, I didn't tell him that, but that's what I was thinking. Because you were late. It has nothing to do with me and it has nothing to do with my people. You're not going to take it out on my people. And what I said deliberately. Well, he says, I want to pursue this. I said, well, sir, I will allow you to do that. Oh, you'll allow me to do that? You see the antagonism? This man had a chip on his shoulder, and he was going to prove that he was bigger and better than anybody in there. I'm telling you something. I was so impressed. My thoughts were at that point, hey, you know what? You can tie that outside too. Your importance and a buck and a half will buy you a cheap cup of coffee. I'm not impressed. And I knew because my officer didn't try to go and defend himself. He went back in the corner and even walked out of the room. When the guy was, well, look at his demeanor. Look at his posture. This guy's got more training and more credentials than I ever thought of having in the career of law enforcement, through the military and other things, working for the federal government. He's light years ahead of me. And I knew by his posture and demeanor. This man was lying through his teeth. I knew that by the spirit, but I also knew because of the mannerisms that I saw. God will expose darkness, folks. When the light comes in, darkness is exposed. Do you know that? Darkness is exposed. Now, what am I saying? Am I saying that because you have a moment where you mess up that you're full of darkness? No. But I'm saying that darkness has the ability to try to creep in, and that's what we want to do, is make sure the light comes in and not the darkness. Because darkness will cause separation and stumbling. Amen? It'll cause you not to see clearly. Amen? Nod your head if you don't say anything else. Just do something. Let me know you're alive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's go on. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, and what that means there is basically self-centered, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now what that means is that you basically just cut off fellowship for a little while until you get your wits about you. That's not total separation from God. You dealt with that the day you fell on your face and said, God, I forgive me, I'm a sinner, I need Jesus in my life. I confess that He's the Son of God, born by a virgin. The virgin-born Son of God, and I need Him. Take the crud out of me, Lord. Clean me up and let me be what You want me to be. I yield myself to You, Your servant, and Your servant alone to obey. Hallelujah. In verse 2, Ephesians 5, verse 2, or the second part of that, make one's way, progress, make due use of opportunities, conduct oneself, is talking about love, brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, and benevolence. I can't tell you the times, for most of us who've been here a long time have heard Stan say a million times, yeah, you may be justified in your actions. You may be justified in your thoughts. But what right did that give you? Only one. Walk in the ways of God. And that doesn't mean ranting and raving about someone else or going and trying to point a finger at someone else. Remember what I told you? My ears are not garbage cans. Can I tell you when you're going to emulate Christ in the biggest way is when you turn right around in the middle of that and you go to the other person, even if you're totally in the right, and say, you know what, I'm sorry. Forget, you know, I didn't mean that. I love you and I appreciate you. And you watch what happens in your life. You watch the anointing increase. You watch your walk become stronger. And you watch the wisdom of God grow in your life. Is that what you want? Or are you happy where you're at? I'm not satisfied, folks. That's why I cry out often, create in me clean hands and a right heart. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways. And see and expose any wicked way in me. Because I want it gone. He is faithful and just to what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to forgive us of what? A few? All of our sin. A few more scriptures and then we're going to end with one of the most powerful scriptures that was ever written. One of the most. I didn't say the most. Galatians 5, verses 18 through 26. Galatians 5, verses 18 through 26. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Did you hear me? See, your actions sometimes take you out of grace and put you under the law. Yours are my actions. I'm not excluding myself from any of this. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, listen carefully, folks, outbursts of wrath. Well, I don't know about y'all, I've never done that. More than I care to think about, but thank God it's under the blood. It's washed away, it's received, it's gone away. Hallelujah. Why? Just automatically? No. Because you made a choice, because I made a choice to do the right thing. Glory to God. Selfish ambitions, dissensions and heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. How many know the Bible says that if your thoughts are evil against another, that you've committed murder in your heart? Consider your ways. Those are the works of the flesh. But in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says you'll know them by your fruit, by their fruit, right? We know each other by the fruit in our lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Oh, we could spend a long time right there. Self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, which is what leads to strife between another two human beings. Is that right or is that wrong? With its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. We're just about to wrap it up here, folks. A couple more scriptures. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Did you hear me? Here's what the word says. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And then he admonishes us, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. When God exposes things and exposes situations and speaks to us in a way of chastisement, it's not to tear us down, it's to build us up. And so they can be exposed so they won't stand. Because I promise you, what's hidden, what you and I think is hidden, is what God says, what? Will be exposed and shouted from the rooftops. It'll be exposed. The dark, what's in the dark, will be exposed in the light. Amen? Wouldn't it be easier just to do it God's way so we don't have to worry about that? So we don't have to be looking over our shoulder all the time. When's the hammer coming? When's it going to fall? Come on, you all know what I'm talking about. Turn with me to 1 John. We're going to read a few verses out of chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 4. and then we're going to end up with our final scripture. 1 John chapter 2. Are y'all okay?
Amen.
Are y'all okay? You know, it's good for us. The Bible says it's good for us to look inside and to consider and to cry out once in a while. That's what keeps us humble. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? And isn't that an attribute of God, humility? An attribute of Jesus? I want to be like Him. How about you? Hallelujah. Man, He must really love us to lay this on us this morning, huh? Amen. Verses 9 through 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. And he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother. Now, we're talking about brothers here. Folks, let me remind you that the Bible, everybody is God's creation. Everything on this earth, every human, every animal is God's creation. But not everyone is God's child. Do you understand that? Do you understand what separation and the division is there? The one who's been redeemed from sin, who has accepted the free gift, and the one who rejects it. There's two fathers, and you're either the father, you're with the Father of light, the Father God, the Creator, or you're with the enemy, who's a deceiver and a liar. I'll tell you what, one of these days I'm going to read you a scripture out of John chapter 4. I can't remember the exact places, but it talks about that. You acting like your father, and it's talking in a negative sense of those who are not believers, and how you do it out of your own resources. The truth's not in you. You're an imitator of Him. Whew. Mercy. I mean, I've had that sitting right there. Not because I'm dwelling on it, but I don't know what God wants me to do with it yet. But I'm telling you, it's powerful. Anyway, let's go on. Chapter 2, verses 18 through 26. Wait a minute. You're right. I was looking at a different scripture. 9 through 11. You're right. You guys keep me on track here. I'm just testing you. And he says, and he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Ouch. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. But this we know, by this we know the love of God, because he has laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? By this we know the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. When you see the Bible's very clear. It says, when you see a brother taken in fault, restore such an one. Isn't that what it says? Restore that one. Don't hammer them and point a finger and go around trying to poison everybody else around you with that nonsense. Go to them individually, one-on-one. Be a stand-up person and say, you know what? I'm sorry. Forgive me. I didn't mean it. Or I made a mistake. I want to do right. I love you and I care for you. And you watch what happens, amen? You watch what happens. Most of you have already experienced that. If you haven't, this is a good day. 1 John chapter 4, verses 21 and 22. Hey, that's good. I did that backwards. 22 to verse 21. Yes, sir. 1 John chapter 4. And I've obviously made a mistake there. It's verse 21. And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Now, if you will, you had to see this coming. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I don't know about you, I need a reminder of this often. This is our closing scripture. Verses 4 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Praise the Lord. See, what we've talked about this morning and what we've seen from the Word And what we should be receiving is the fact that there is a code of conduct. It doesn't come by accident. And it doesn't come by osmosis. It comes by you surrendering your will to the will of the Father. By you examining your life and re-understanding what God's forgiven you for. The mistakes and the rotten things you did. Some of them intentional. Amen. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Amen. After the flesh. Galatians 2:20 says, "For I have crucified the flesh." Amen. Crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And the life that I'm living now, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live. But it's not you. It's Christ living in you. Amen? You and I can't do it on our own. If we're not surrendered, man, we are going to stumble and fall. Like the Scripture says, 7 times. Or more. And not only that, the Bible also goes on and says, in another place, it says to forgive. Not just 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. Forgive, what does that mean? Release it. Let it go. Don't stand and harp on it. Don't get involved with it. Don't jump on the bandwagon. Let it go. Release it to God so there's restoration, not only for the other person, but for you. The Bible says whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. But whatever and whoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whoa. That sends chills up and down my back. I don't want to be one who holds something. See, God gives honor to us. We don't even understand. We haven't even begun to really understand the power and authority we have. But remember, with the way you deal with, or if you want to use the word judge, another is the way you yourself will be judged. And who do you have to blame? Yourself. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up, or if you'll allow me, inflated with pride. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It is not provoked. And it thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Verse 9 says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away." I remember many years ago, back in the 70s, I was involved with, you know, some people who were acquaintances of mine. One went to the church that I went to. He was a police officer in one of the cities. And being a young, dumb person, well, I was at that time, I jumped on the bandwagon and started picking up some of their vernacular about people who were what we call bad guys today. See a long-haired hippie or somebody who was a criminal element, why you slimy barf bag puke. And God, right on the spot, said, Bill, what have I forgiven you for? What has been forgiven in your life? And I couldn't use those words anymore. Now, we may not consider those swear words, but they're unwholesome words. And we're definitely not thinking on things that are pure, noble, of a good report. We're commanded to think on those things. If you're led by the Spirit, if you walk in the Spirit, then when something happens, if the Spirit's really in you, then you're not going to fly off the handle. And you're not going to point a finger of accusation. You're going to remember what God's done in your life. And you're going to seek the forgiveness of the other person because of your action to whatever they did, even though they were totally wrong. You're going to seek to be released. And in so doing, release them. And what are you going to find? Fellowship. A stronger bond of love. And the coming together of those three cords, which can't easily be broken. We need one another. We can't hold grudges against one another. And I remind you again, even in our communion, we're told what to do with thoughts and things like that. We better not take communion, because we don't rightly discern the body of Christ. Jesus came to do what? To save us. And in that saving, what came along with it? Forgiveness? Oh. Forgiveness. A releasing. A blotting out of all those things that were written down that were against you and I. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shed abroad in our hearts. How do we know? By the love we have one for another. How does this world know that we're really believers? By the love we have for one another. Amen? Praise the Lord. So this morning, if you haven't already been in the process, let's take a moment. Thank God that He cares about us enough. Let me tell you something. I want to remind you of one more story. Ken Copeland was having a meeting one night. Most of you have heard this before. And in that meeting, there was a man sitting up on his right, somewhere up in the seats. And during the whole service, God revealed to Kenneth Copeland, he was mocking every healing, every word, and everything that God was doing in that service. And Kenneth Copeland stopped and he pointed up in that direction. He didn't point at him. He knew who he was. And the man knew he knew who he was too. And he said, Sir, because you have mocked God tonight, you've laughed at and scorned everything that's gone on here, every sickness and disease that was healed tonight is now on you. Everything that you've mocked, you are now responsible for. And if you don't repent, you will die. Did you hear what God said? He didn't say, it's all over, fool, you're done. Remember, God is not mocked. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Well, that's not the end of the story. I don't know what all happened to him in the interim. But the rest of the story is that he did repent. And was totally healed and restored in his life, transformed because of God's love. Even at the point when you and I would have considered, let that sucker die. God said, no, I'm not willing that anyone should perish, but all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Now, you want to see an expression of God's love? You just saw it. His compassion, His mercy, His grace. God has called us to this place. We are part of the body. This is not the only part of the body. And we in this part, even so, are still individual members of that body. We need one another. We can't make it without one another. And if even one of us slips and falls or moves away, as some have done, there is a noticeable change and a lack in the body. We need to make sure that our love and our bonds together are strong. But there's protection in that. And I would admonish you the same way I admonished my children this morning. If you've made a mistake, repent. Don't run from God. And don't run from God's healing. Run to it. Run to it. Amen? Do y'all agree with that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. If you need prayer this morning, for anything, you know what to do. If you think this was comfortable this morning, you better think again. But I've made my decision. I'm going to lay my life down for y'all. I don't care what my comfort level is. I care what God thinks. I care what God says. Amen. I love every one of you. God loves you. As we take this moment and you're examining your heart, make it right with God. And if God directs you to, go make it right with the individual. Even if you're the one who was not at fault, go make it right with the other one. Amen. Can we do that? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We had the words up on the screen to that song. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I like it. Oops. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you for your care and your love. And Lord, you don't come to us and you don't expose these things and speak to our hearts in this manner to embarrass us, but to save us. Once again, to continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this morning, Lord, we corporately say, Father, forgive us. We seek your mercy this morning, Lord. Create in us clean hands and a pure heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Your word this morning has searched us and tried us. And now we confess the wicked ways that are in us, Lord. We release it to you. We want to make it right, Lord. Because what we do to others will be done unto us. We're all your kids, Lord. We're all sons and heirs. We want to be like Jesus. To do your will. Follow and bring about your purpose in this earth, in this life. And we can't go out and minister to others if we've got problems right here in our midst. We can't minister from the pulpit. We can't minister life and light to others. Musically, teaching, preaching, any other way, if we're not right here. So, Father, today we thank you for your word. We receive with joy your chastisement. And now, Lord, we do repent. We turn from it. We don't want to go back. We don't want to repeat this again, Lord. Right now, Lord. I want you all to just take a moment. I want you to take three deep breaths. Breathe in the Spirit and breathe in the life and the forgiveness and the anointing of God. Breathe in the release. Thank you for reminding us this morning, Holy Spirit, that we're not always right, no matter what our background, our education, our experience, our training, or our talent is. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for forgiving us, for releasing us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being our example. Now, Holy Spirit, seal this word in every heart. Thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for once again reminding us and exposing to us firsthand that you never leave us nor forsake us. And that nothing is able to separate us from your love. Now as we go our way and have fellowship this afternoon, Lord, I pray that this word would captivate, arrest, cause the lack of rest and sleep in every person here as we meditate on your word this morning. You didn't speak this morning, and this wasn't your heart this morning to beat people up, but to set people free. We receive that freedom right now in Jesus' name. Now go with your people. Let your face shine on each one of these, Lord. Let your wisdom and knowledge increase. Let the light of your love shine in their lives and let it spill out, spill over on others that they come in contact with. Cause opportunities, Lord, according to your plan and purpose, for them to expose your light, your life, and to give an answer of the hope that's within them. Hope of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we praise and thank you forever. Amen. You are dismissed.